conflict in the Middle East intensified this weekend after Iran launched a barrage of drones and ballistic missiles toward Israel. Iran's top commanders say it's in retaliation to a suspected Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria earlier this month, which killed Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps members, including two generals. We've reached Jamie Levin this morning. He's a Middle East expert and an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think of what's happened over the weekend?
Well, what we saw over the weekend was a major escalation. What started on Saturday was a multi-directional attack, and what's novel here is that it was from Iran itself against Israel. The attack more or less started on Saturday. Iran seized a civilian cargo ship in the Straits of Hormuz, which is a crucial global shipping lane. And later in the day, and much more importantly, it launched 185 drones, likely the similar drones that Iran has furnished to Russia in its war against Ukraine, 36 cruise missiles, and 110 surface-to-air missiles directly at Israel. This is a staggering attack. But the attack only managed minor damage in Israel to the Netivim Air Force Base. That's a strategic base in southern Israel where it holds its fleet of F-35s. And unfortunately managed a single major casualty. They grievously wounded a 7-year-old Arab Bedouin girl. Israel intercepted the attack. It was the first use first test in war of the Arrow missile defense system. That's the big brother of the Iron Dome, and it seemed to work perfectly. And of course, its allies, Jordan, the UK, and the United States, all also came to its aid and helped shoot down and intercept the attack. According to the Israeli military, 99% of the aerial threats launched against it were intercepted.
Okay. So then, to this point, how is Israel responding?
How has Israel responded? The first response was simply a defensive response to counteract the attack that came. Now, that attack, of course, came in response to Israel on April 1st assassinating an Iranian general, Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, who is the commander of the Quds Force of the Revolutionary Guards. That is effectively the commander of Iran's proxies on Israel's border, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others. There has been a well-established red line in this shadow war between Israel and Iran, where Israel attacks more or less mid-level management attacks against the Iranian nuclear program, and Iran responds by way of its proxies. This signals major escalation. It's the first time that Iran has engaged Israel directly, and Israel has clearly changed its red lines and is now targeting senior management, let's say, in Iran.
Okay. What do you make of the response from the Americans and other international partners over the weekend?
Yes. So the Israel convened an emergency meeting of the United Nations. It has demanded in the strongest terms condemnation of the attack. The G7 met on Sunday and issued a condemnation of the attack, but also called on the parties to de-escalate. In particular, it has looked to see that the war in Gaza, that a ceasefire be secured there. What I'll look to see from the international community, at this stage, we have no pledges. We have words only. There is, of course, a fear that this could escalate beyond the attack this weekend, that this could lead to an Israeli counterattack against Iran's proxies. It could lead to a continuation of the war in Gaza, in particular the attack on southern Gaza, Rafah, where the last vestiges of Hamas remains. So far, that has been paused. So I think there is a great desire in the international community not to see this escalate at that point. The question is, beyond words, what will the G7, what will the United Nations do? It seems to me that at this stage, the alliance between Israel and the United States and the UK has been resumed, has been strengthened. We're not hearing talks we were last week and in the weeks prior of reducing or even limiting weapons sales to Israel. We are seeing a renewed strength of that alliance, but I think Israel will only be disincentivized from widening the conflict at this point if Iran is sort of boxed in. And the obvious measure there would be something like sanctions.
Okay.
So I'm going to be looking to the UN and the G7 to see whether they follow their words up with significant action.
Do you share the fears that you're hearing from the other leaders that this could escalate?
Absolutely. Iran at the United Nations has said that the attack has concluded and that it was a success. I don't see by any metric how this attack was a success. It was meant to deter Israel and to save face domestically, to project power domestically. The fact that Israel's allies came to its aid, that Israel's military intercepted the attack almost in its entirety, does not appear to be a show of force by Iran. Quite the opposite. It seems like a bungled attack. So Iran says it's over, but it hasn't accomplished what it set out to do. On the other hand, Israel hasn't been deterred by Iran and, in fact, now has greater incentives to bring the fight to Iran directly or to continue its fight against Iran's proxies. And it has drawn in a very meaningful sense, the Americans and the British and the Jordanians. So do I fear a widening conflict? I do. Israel has said for its part that the war is not over. And, of course, the Americans have responded by President Biden was quoted over the weekend as asking Netanyahu to, quote, take the win.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jamie, we'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Levin is a Middle East expert and associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University.